This is God's gracious word. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. So every night around 9 or 10 o'clock, I take our dog Fledge out one last time before putting him to bed. And I can't help, as I walk through my yard in the darkness, to look up in wonder. More days than I would like to admit, by that time of the day, I feel my anxiety creeping up. I'm having trouble breathing sometimes. I have that unsettled feeling in my mind, in my stomach. Maybe you know the feeling. But when I look up at the stars, how often do you stop to consider the size of the universe? Do we have any space people out there? I know some people are into space. I think I know of at least one. Scientists actually call it the known universe because we actually don't know how big it is. There's a lot that scientists admit that we do not know about the universe, like how big it is, or what is the exact shape of the entire universe. To these questions and many, many more, there's a lot of mystery in the vastness of this universe that God has created. There are over, or maybe not quite, 18,000 people who work at NASA, who study and work with the space program, and there are thousands more who contract and work with NASA. And I think all of them would say, as they look up at the night sky, they realize that we are all just looking at the brink of something that surpasses our knowledge. So I learned some interesting facts about the universe this week. I'd love to share some of them with you. So some of you may know many of these things, but I, had to learn some of them this week. So we have a solar system, right? That's kind of the smaller one. That's the sun and the moon and the eight planets with Pluto, right? Nine. And then there's the galaxy, bigger than that, Milky Way galaxy, and then the universe, right? It goes like that. One interesting thing I learned, if you could drive a car to the moon, let's just say you could, straight line to the moon, and you went 62 miles an hour, it would take you about 160 days to get there. If you could drive a car 62 miles an hour constant, about 160 days to get to the moon. But when you think about the rest of the solar system and then the galaxy and the universe, we actually need a bigger unit of measurement than like how fast you can drive in a car. You need a ruler big enough to capture the space. So what they use is the light year. So that's how far light can travel in a year. Light goes really fast, guys. About 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast light can travel. So light, it takes us 160 days to get to the moon in a car. It takes light 1.3 seconds to get to the moon. Like, it's fast. So the solar system, from the sun to Pluto, the dwarf planet, takes about 5.5 hours for light to get there. So that shows you, Pluto's way out there compared to the moon. The Milky Way galaxy. I think scientists are giving their best guess at this. But what I read was it's about 100,000 light years across. 100,000. It would take light traveling at 186,000 miles a second, 100,000 years to get across the galaxy. And in the known universe, it's about 93 billion light years across. And it's actually expanding at all times. So the psalmist says, I think we could agree with him, the heavens declare the glory of God. The universe is here to display the greatness of God's glory. And today, as we look at the end of chapter 3 in Ephesians, I think the universe actually displays something else too. Something that's beyond our wildest hopes and dreams and our best thoughts. So this week and next week, we're going to dwell at the end of Ephesians 3. And today, our focus is on the love of Christ. It surpasses knowledge. So I have 3 points for us to consider. The first is that the love of Christ is known through prayer. The love of Christ is known through prayer. The second, the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. And third, the love of Christ is known in community. And actually for the children, for my children today, I have a special message for you at the end. And I actually have a gift for you. And actually I have several extra gifts for people that have grandchildren that I'm going to share with you guys as well. So children, young children, come see me after the service, but I will return to you here at the end of the sermon. So y'all pay attention, okay, guys? Don't go to sleep. All right. Thank you. I'll try to keep it interesting. So let's look at our first point. It's the love of Christ is known through prayer, okay? Love of Christ is known through prayer. Looking at the text, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Paul starts off these verses saying, for this reason. So you may ask, well, what reason? Why is he praying? Why is he bowing his knees to the Father? And if you look back at verse 1 of chapter 3, he has that same phrase, for this reason. So I think we could say, really, going back to chapter 2 is the reason that he's about to pray. So what does Paul talk about in chapter 2? Well, he discusses all that God has done for the believers at Ephesus and for us. God has raised us from the dead. God has saved us by grace through faith. And God has united all believers into one body, one family, one temple in which God himself will dwell. So the motivation for prayer is God's mercy. The reason for prayer is God's grace, his undeserved blessing. The gospel of grace leads us to prayer because Jesus came to us when we deserved the opposite of grace. We deserved punishment and wrath and judgment that would never end. So the fact that despite your sin, despite your lack of prayer, despite that fact that who you are at your very core is an offense to a holy God, God still loves you. Dear Christian, God sent his Son for you. And God himself desires to spend time with you. So this past week at Grace Group, we discussed quite an amazing verse in the Bible. In Revelation 3, Jesus is speaking to a church. This church is not doing well. He calls them wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3:17. He calls them to repent, to turn away from their sin, to turn back to him. And then Jesus makes this amazing offer to them. He says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus desires to feast with you. He's knocking. Jesus desires deep fellowship with you, members of the church, believers in Christ. He's inviting you to a feast, to a conversation. He's inviting you to prayer. What will you find in your poor, wretched state? What will you find when you open the door for him? You'll find his steadfast love. You'll find his desire to spend time with you. Paul is about to pray a massive prayer. Ephesians 3 that we're studying is a massive prayer. There may not be a bigger thing to pray in the whole Bible. And so he prays in the name of the Father in verse 14. He prays for the power of the Spirit in verse 16. And he prays for Christ, the Son of God, to dwell in their hearts in verse 17. So it's such a big prayer that Paul is calling on every person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to answer this prayer. You have to feel good about the chances of God being able to answer that prayer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he is able. We see this in verse 20, to him who is able. So just as a manger once held the eternal Son of God, so now Paul is praying for our hearts to hold the risen Lord Jesus. It's a good reason to pray. Paul prays that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell means to take up permanent residence. It's the idea almost from the Old Testament of the tabernacle, where God would dwell in a tent. It's the idea of God pitching his tent and dwelling amongst his people, but no, dwelling in his people. So this is a massive prayer, and if this prayer is answered, everything else works out. So our first application for this text is for us actually to pray together right now. So I'm going to give each of us just a few silent moments to pray, and I'm going to give you a little direction, and then a few seconds to pray. Would you pray first for each other here in this room? Pray for someone in this room, silently in your heart. Pray that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. So let's pray. Now, why don't we pray for someone who's not here today? Whoever comes to mind, pray that they would know the love of Christ. And lastly, why don't you pray for yourself? And that you would be filled with the fullness of God today. Amen. So our first truth about the love of Christ is that it's known through prayer. Paul bows his knee before the Father. And the second truth is this. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Let's take a look at the text, verse 17 through 19. So he's praying that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he's praying that they would be filled with the fullness of God. He's praying that they would know the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. He's praying they would know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. This gives us further reason why he prays before he says these things. How can we know something that surpasses knowledge? Just as the universe is grander than anything we can even begin to comprehend, so too is the love of Christ. I just have to share a few more facts about the universe. I enjoyed my research this week. So a few more facts about the size of the universe. So the Milky Way, our galaxy, right? Kind of the middle thing, solar system, Milky Way, universe. So scientists believe, and I don't really know how they know this, but they believe that there are at least 100 billion stars in our galaxy and at least that many planets. Over 100 billion stars, over 100 billion planets, just in our galaxy. That's kind of like, I heard someone say, it's kind of like our subdivision in the neighborhood of the universe, okay? That's just one galaxy. And in the known universe, I think until somewhat recently, scientists thought there were about 200 billion galaxies, each possibly containing that many stars. But even I saw something on NASA saying they think that number is actually way too low. Through different, maybe the Hubble, telescope and things and other research, they think it's actually many more galaxies in the known universe. In the winter of 1990, something amazing happened. Some of you may have heard of the Voyager 1 space probe. It's a satellite that used to take pictures. It doesn't do that anymore, but it's the farthest man-made object out there at this point. There's nothing further out there than the Voyager 1 space probe. It's still out there, gathering data, sending it back. So in the winter of 1990, it turned around and kind of looked back toward the Earth and everything in the solar system and took a lot of pictures, about 60 pictures. It was 3.7 billion miles away from us at that moment. Has anyone seen this famous picture, the pale blue dot? Familiar? Maybe? Look it up. We may post it on social media. I think it could be one of the most amazing pictures in the history of mankind. So it's this picture of just darkness, and you imagine with how big space is, just the vastness. And there are these streaks of light, just three or four streaks of light going across the darkness, sunbeams from our sun. And in one of the beams, there's this teeny tiny speck. It looks like dust. It looks like a speck of dust. Really teeny tiny. And that's Earth. So there's a scientist, Carl Sagan, who's not a Christian, he's an atheist, but he said something really amazing about that picture, the pale blue dot. So he says, look again at that dot. That's here. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their whole lives on that dot. The aggregate of all our joy and our suffering. Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilizations, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, every hopeful child, every inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived on a mote of dust. Suspended in a sunbeam. Wow. We have such a big universe. And you are so small in it. And yet, you are prized by the creator of that universe, the king of the universe. You, unnoticeable on that pale blue dot, treasured by the majestic God who created this amazing universe and who sustains it by the word of his power. And I found it really amazing when I learned the date, the exact date that that picture was taken. It was February 14th, 1990. It was taken on Valentine's Day, tomorrow, an anniversary. And I just believe that was just another way of God to tell us, you see this little speck in this sunbeam? I am setting my love there. Out of all of this vastness in this universe, I love you. How do I know that? How do I know that God picked in his sovereignty for February 14th to communicate his love to us on that picture? Well, brings up a better question. Where do we look to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love? Do we look at our circumstances? How fickle would our concept of God's love if we measured it based off what's going on in our life and our day, our week, or even our year? We might be, if we were like that, like the girl with the, was it the rose petals? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Brothers and sisters, we have something much stronger, something much truer, something certain that we can know the love of God. It's through the cross of Jesus. Something that happened in history, something that is objectively true, we know that God loves us because of the cross of Jesus. Let's consider the breadth of Christ's love. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, died on the cross, and his blood covers all nations. Just think of the great diversity on this earth. Think of the great multitudes of people who will one day praise Jesus in heaven. And yet that breadth of his love stretches out his arms to you personally and pulls you into his heart. This is the breadth of Christ's love for you. Let's think of the length of his love. How long is his love? It's as long as eternity past to eternity future. His blood covers all your sins. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He did it all. He paid the last drop of God's wrath for us. He's loved you with an everlasting love. And he will say to you, everyone who believes in Jesus, when you meet him, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If he took you right now, he would say that to you if your faith is in Christ. Not because of how you're doing right now. Not because of how your week's been. Not because you've done great things for him. Not because you've reached your full potential. But he'll say it to you by his grace, by his great love, by the power that he is working in you, that you are fulfilling the purpose that he has for you. It's all his love and his grace. So the length of Christ's love stretches to eternity. And that's the length of his love for you. What about the height of his love? If we cannot comprehend the heights of the heavens and the universe, how can we comprehend the King who sits enthroned over the universe? The heights of his throne, the one that Jesus sat on from eternity past. Jesus, the one who the angels saw and said, "Holy, holy, holy," covering their eyes at his blinding holiness. This is the Jesus who willingly came down. He came down through that universe into time and space and humbled himself to be a servant, to be your servant, to take the form of man and to lay himself down at the cross. What great height from eternally exalted Lord of heaven to crucified man of Golgotha. He went to the cross for you and for me. That's the height of Christ's love for you. In the depth, how deep does Christ's love go? All the way into hell. How can we comprehend the wrath of God, the ferocity of his judgment against sin that Jesus took on our behalf? He bore it in his body on the tree. His love meets you right where you are in your worst moment, the absolute worst, and he raises you up to heaven. He went to the very depths of hell itself, where you deserve to be, where I deserve to be, for the penalty of our sin. But his love will never let us go there. On the third day, Christ arose so that we who have faith in him will never taste that type of death. This is the depth of Christ's love for you. Do you know his love for you? His deep, abiding love for you. The breadth and length and height and depth of his love. The Lord Jesus in this text is saying to us, look back at my cross and know my love for you. No matter what, there's the proof of my love. So the word Paul uses in these verses in Greek is agape. We've heard of this term, agape love, right? So what does this teach us about the love of Christ? It's an unconditional love. There are no conditions. He set his love on his bride. That's it. It's a never-ending love. It will never end. His love will never end. There's nothing you can do to make his love dry up. He died for all your sins. He knows everything that's going to happen in the future. He knows what you're struggling with now. His love will never end. It's a sacrificial love that he laid down his life for us. It's a love that he has for us right now, today. And this is the love that in the church we begin to imitate, even in just the faintest way, with each other as we love each other. So I have three application points for us today. So the first one is more generally as a church. How should this change our lives, this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? Well, I think first, as a church, we must let the love of Christ motivate and empower everything we do. Every single thing we do. Every sermon, every song we sing, every small group we attend. It's all because of the love of Christ for us. Every encouragement we give to our friends, every friendship that we have and develop, every rebuke that we give, it's because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. Every outreach we do, every act of service, the love of Christ controls us. This brings up a good question. Why does Paul pray for the Christians to know the love of Christ? Don't they already know the love of Christ if they're Christians? He prays for Christ to dwell in their hearts through faith. Well, they're believers. Doesn't Christ already dwell in their hearts through faith? He's praying for the church to know his love more. He's praying for the church to trust his love more. So how can we know Christ's love more? I want you to imagine you are an explorer. Would anyone have liked to be a explorer back 600 years ago or so? Wouldn't that be kind of exciting? In theory, yes. It's probably really hard. May not like it as much, but it's a fun idea. You might understand if we landed in what today is North America that maybe at first you didn't quite know how big it was. Maybe you even thought it was just a small island that you'd run into, right? You could understand if you would have no idea of the vast resources that were on North America, the farmlands, the minerals, the animals. You'd have no idea of the breathtaking beauty of Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon and the Mississippi River. You would have no idea what impact this land would have on the whole world and future generations. The only way to discover those things is to start walking around on the land. It's like this with the love of Christ. When we first meet Jesus, we know that he's loving, and he's beautiful, and he's life-changing. But we have no idea the heights and depths and length and breadth of his love, how rich the resources of his grace, how beautiful the mercy in his eyes, how much his life would change your life and other people's lives through you. The only way to know is to start walking around in his love for you. So, brothers and sisters, what are you walking around in today, this past week? Is it rules to try to earn God's love? Is it fear of others because you're trying to earn their acceptance? Is it doubt that God loves you? Is that what you're walking around in right now? Brothers and sisters, we should walk around in the love of Christ. We should live our days knowing and trusting and enjoying his love for us. This is what he wants for us. This is what Paul is praying for. We should explore the goodness of his grace. We should bask in his smiles day after day. And we do this by looking back at the cross. So our second application is how we can explore the love of Christ in our personal lives. We preach the gospel to ourselves every day. You remind yourself of his love when you wake up. Before you look at your phone, or even before you open your Bible, remember this. We love because he first loved us. Remind yourself of his love when your heart wants to sin. And when you do sin, remember this. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. He took the wrath of God for our sins. He's our advocate right when we're in the midst of our sin. He's our advocate. He's there. He's come across the table. He said, I'm still with you. I still love you. We're going to get through this. Come back to me. Remind yourself of his love when life is so hard, when the pain is so deep, and it just doesn't get better. Month after month, after month after month, remind yourself of this. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a great resource that helps us with preaching the gospel to ourselves. It's a little booklet some of us have called The Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. And if anyone does not have it and you would like it, the church will buy it for you. So please let me know if you would like one. It has a lot of just encouragements and reminders of how to preach the gospel to ourselves. I'll give one quote from it. So it says in page 55 there, it says that we must preach the gospel to ourselves. For me, this means I keep going back to scriptures, such as Isaiah 53:6, he was pierced for our transgressions. Or Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Or Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It means I frequently repeat the words from an old hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, brothers and sisters, we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day. That's how we remember his love. We look back at his demonstration of his love for us. It will be for your joy, for your encouragement, for your growth in holiness to go back to the gospel daily. Our final application is this. Preach the gospel to each other. We should preach the gospel to each other. Walk with someone else in their walk with Christ. Learn more about the love of Christ as you help someone else know the love of Christ. So, Grace Fellowship, we should be walking together through this life in reminding each other of God's love. Remind each other of his love for your friend. Remind your brother about God's perfect plan for your life. Remind your sister about God's goodness and his faithfulness. Remind each other of our hope, not in this life, but in heaven. Discipleship, this is what I'm talking about. Discipleship is really just a friendship that is walking in the light of Christ's love for you both. Sometimes it might look like a weekly Bible study, but that is not the only way to do discipleship. It's life lived together. It's friendship. It's speaking truth in love. It's encouraging. Every one of us in the church should have these kind of relationships. And if you would like one, if you say, I would love someone to help me, let me know and I can help find the right person. Or if you're saying, I would love to help someone else walk with Christ, let me know. And I would be loved to help connect you with someone. So Christ's love is the fullness of God. Christ's love surpasses knowledge. So there's always more to learn. We will spend eternity, and we need help now learning the love of Christ. So it brings us to our last point, is that the love of Christ is known in community. Let's look back at the text. So it says in verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. So being rooted and grounded in love, just like the love of Christ is the soil that Christians grow in. What else would be the soil that we grow in? There's nothing else. It's his love for us. Just like the flower cannot leave his roots and his soil, so too the Christian cannot leave Christ's love. So our vision this year, which we'll talk more about this afternoon, is that we will grow together. We will grow together in his love. So do we see the precious gift that we are to each other in the church? We are a body with many members and many gifts, but more than that, we each have our own relationship with Christ, where we've walked with him. We've learned different things about him. We've had different breakthroughs in Bible study. We've had God's word encourage us and empower us and convict us in different ways. We've had different triumphs. We've had different hardships. We've had different battles fought and won through Christ. We can share that with each other. We need all of us to know the love of Christ. Because none of us fully know him. None of us fully know his love. So we can avail ourselves of God's family in knowing the love of Christ. And it will actually take not just our local church, but the entire universal church for all eternity as we get to know each other and hear the triumphs of Christ's love, that we will continue to learn of the amazing love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Okay, so I promised the children I was going to talk to you guys. Are y'all there? You ready? Okay. So I want to talk to you guys specifically, and I want to say to you that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I love what Jesus says to his disciples. He tells them, "Let the children come to me. Let them come to me." So Jesus is not just saying, Thomas, that he wants you to believe in him. He does. But Jesus wants you to have a relationship with him. It's kind of like this. You maybe love your mommy and daddy, but we don't just want to talk to you one time. We want to have a relationship with you because we love spending time with you. It's like that with him. And he loves you just as you are, as crazy as you are, as wonderful as you are, as unique as each of you are. He made you that way, and he loves you for it. He loves your laughter, your curiosity, your excitement, your wonder. And there's one reason among many that he loves you. It's because you're just small enough to know that you need him. Sometimes us big people forget that. But you know that you need help in life, right? You need help pouring the cereal. You know those things. And he loves you because he loves to help you. And the last thing I want to say about Christ's love for you, children, is that he gave himself for you right now. Not just when you're an adult, but he gave himself for children to come and believe in him. And I also want to say to you, children, that this church loves you. Sometimes these sermons and our small groups and all these things are kind of geared toward adults, but I want you to know, guys, that they're for you too. They're for all children who may come to this church. And I want you to know, Joshua, Lucy, and Thomas, that you guys are a gift to this church. And we are blessed to have you. So here is a commitment I am making. You guys hold me to it. The first Sunday of every month, it's not today, but the first Sunday of every month, I want all the kids who are here at church to come see me after the sermon. And I just want to spend 2 minutes reminding you of God's love. I want to answer any question you might have from the sermon. And I want to pray for you. And actually today, I have a gift for you guys and a gift for some of the other children who visit our church. We'll send it to them today. I have a gift for you guys. So y'all come see me after the service. I'll give you a gift. So Grace Fellowship. The smartest scientists cannot comprehend the universe, but we can know the love of Christ. Even children, by faith, can know the love of Christ, surpasses knowledge. So Grace Fellowship, know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Be filled with all the fullness of God. And next week, we will see why we can know his love. Verse 20, him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So let's pray. Lord God, we just want to thank you for your great love for us. Lord, we cannot comprehend your love. We cannot comprehend the love of Christ. It surpasses our knowledge. But Lord, would you help us just grow closer to him and know his love a little more today? Lord, would you fill this church with the love of Christ, that it would just overflow to each other, it would overflow to this community and even to all nations? Lord, mark us out by your love. We just bask in your love, Lord. We thank you for your love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.